This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
You're listening to Australia's number one tech podcast. Every week, join hosts Brad and Jason here on the Tech Webcast. Download our iPhone app, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and visit us online at techwebcast.info. Here are your hosts, Brad and Jason.
Welcome to episode 174 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 11th of February, 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's guest is Brian Buer. He's a tech blogger and YouTuber, and our hosts are Jason, Steve, and Brad. Buenos tardes, Brad.
Hey, Jason, how are you, mate?
As you can hear, I've been learning Spanish recently.
Oh, my God.
I downloaded the Discover Spanish podcast and learning a new language, lots of fun.
Nice.
There was an article on Lifehacker recently where they said if you want to learn another language, try Spanish because it's a lot closer to the structure of English if you want to learn something new. And the best way to do it is watch your DVDs but switch the audio channel to the Spanish language.
Cool.
And then have the subtitles still in English and you can follow it along and then after you've watched it a few times, you start to learn different words and stuff. So that's fun.
You can
check out Discover Spanish podcast.
Oh, okay. I'll check that. All right. We'll check that out. Also, you can actually do that sort of thing on the iPad. You can actually highlight some words and then it reads back to you.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, they've also got a website where you can join up and do stuff on there.
So cool.
DiscoverSpanish.com.
Good stuff. How's your week been, mate? Any interesting news?
Not a lot of tech stuff. A couple of places got hacked, but we'll be doing that for the tech news in a minute.
Cool. Can't wait. Hang on, Steve.
Oh, buenas noches. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay.
How's it going,
how you guys
mate?
Doing?
Yeah, good, mate. What have you been up to this week, mate? Any news?
I kind of been concentrating on other things, work. So I kind of took away for some other stuff, but I have been trying to keep up on the tech news and
cool.
things like that.
Well, I got a new Apple keyboard and Bluetooth keyboard, which is pretty cool.
Do you use that with your iPad?
Yes, and one step closer to getting a Mac Mini, maybe. I don't know.
Well, what do you do with your iPad? You've got something to prop it up, or you use the case or something?
Yeah, I use the stand. You know them stands, the smart covers?
Oh, yeah.
Use that. Yeah, and also I've got a stand in the other room here that I use sometimes that I put on it, which is pretty good.
Okay.
So, all right, well, let's say hi to Brian.
Hey, some news.
You got some news, yeah? Then we'll head over to Brian.
All righty. Apple's controversial Chinese supplier Foxconn was battling on Thursday to contain a security breach after hackers joined the mounting protest over iPhone factory conditions by leaking the login details of its entire staff. A group calling itself Swag Security taunted Terry Gao, the chief executive of Foxconn's parent company, Honhai Industries, by posting his username and password along with a mass of other sensitive information on the Pirate Bay and Pastebin websites. According to The Guardian, the hack publicized in a series of Twitter alerts came as campaigners delivered petitions demanding an ethically made iPhone 5. The new model is expected later this year at Apple stores in London, New York, San Francisco, Sydney, and Bangalore. Symantec, the owner of Norton Antivirus and other security software brands, said someone claiming to be part of Anonymous attempted to extort $50,000 in return for not posting code. The world's number one security software company said it investigated the incident and called the police, but provided no details. Shares of Sunnyvale, California-based Symantec rose 9 cents on Tuesday. The announcement came less than a week after VeriSign, the Reston VA-based registrar of domain names, disclosed it too had been attacked. And Director of National Intelligence John Clapper warned the U.S. House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence cyber intruders continue to explore new means to circumvent defensive measures. Eastman Kodak will stop making digital cameras. How sad is that? Pocket video cameras and digital picture frames marking the end of an era for the company that brought photography to the masses more than a century ago. Founded by George Eastman in 1880, Kodak was known all over the world for its Brownie and Instamatic cameras and its yellow and red film boxes. But the company was battered by Japanese competition in the 1980s and was then unable to keep pace with the shift from film to digital technology. The The Rochester, New York-based company, which filed for bankruptcy protection last month, said it would phase out the product lines in the first half of this year and instead look for other companies to license its brand for those products. It's an especially poignant moment for Kodak. In 1975, using a new type of electronic sensor invented 6 years earlier at Bell Labs, a Kodak engineer named Steve Sasson created the first digital camera. It was a toaster-sized prototype, capturing black and white images at a resolution of 0.1 megapixels. And Google is preparing to launch a cloud storage service, Google Drive, sources claim, taking on iCloud and Dropbox with free and paid accounts. Set to open for uploads in the coming weeks or months, the Wall Street Journal's insiders say Google Drive will supposedly undercut Dropbox's paid subscription pricing, which begins at $10 a month for 50 gig. A free plan, meanwhile, will offer both individual and business users some cloud-based space without cost, locally ad-supported like the free Gmail. And that's the news for today.
Good news as always, mate. Great news. Interesting stories there.
I quite like Dropbox. I use that for keeping copies of all my data, particularly any code that I'm working on in Corona.
Cool. Good stuff. Yeah, I use Dropbox as well on the iPad and the iPhone. Great device. It's a great app to have. Steve, what are your views on them news stories, mate?
I think I had the one with the Apple. Darn, I forgot now. There's some people going to stage a protest in like the Apple stores because of the working conditions in China. I know that was another news story along the lines of what Jason just mentioned.
Yep. Cool. All right. Well, what's next, Jason? We'll have a chat with Brian.
Yeah, let's have a talk to Brian Boer. How are you doing, Brian? Welcome to the show.
Buenas noches.
Muy bien.
Okay, let's speak English here. So, Brian, tell us about modern-day computers, mate.
Say again?
I was just asking you, tell us about modern-day computers.
Basically, it is my little startup. I want to say company, though I haven't registered it yet.
Okay.
Basically, my idea is I want to, help people with computer problems. That's what I do for a living. I want to make sure that everyone can become a geek in the easiest possible way.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you have videos on YouTube?
Yeah. As of right now, I posted some videos on YouTube/modern-day computers on how to hack or root the Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm. And install the Android Market and be able to do all sorts of stuff, because this is, for $200, this is a very nice competitor to the iPad. Of course, there's no camera, there's no built-in microphone, but if you can get over that, it's pretty much a very good competitor. And with what they have, you can do better. That's why I rooted it.
And do you have any other apps that you install on there through the marketplace that you recommend?
Let's see here. Through sideloading, you can install the Google Maps and various Tech Republic, ZDNet, which is very strange because they want location-based, and unfortunately the Kindle does not have it, but you can sideload those. But pretty much you can install almost all the Google made apps like Earth and stuff. Just understand that these are primarily for the phone, so they may not totally fit at first, but it's version one of the Kindle Fire. So, but for $200, it's fun.
What do you think of the form factor and speed of it?
Let's see. Well, I have an app. Well, yeah, it's pretty nice. I use a remote desktop called SplashTop that allows me to connect to my Mac, my MacBook Pro, my Mac Mini, or my regular PC, and I can stream videos with audio onto my Kindle Fire, like it's doing just that. This beats out having to convert the videos to the Kindle format. Video formats. it's basically, you know, it's remote desktop on its touch base, and it's really awesome.
Oh, that's nice. I was trying out the other night TeamViewer on the iPad to connect to my MacBook Pro, and it seemed to be quite good, but a bit fiddly to work with, and I need to have a lot more practice with it, but it's good that you can be able to do that in for free as well.
Yeah. Though, let's see, they did have a sale last week from 40% off software from Macworld, but from what I remember, it's like $5 for the actual app to access the computer, while the streamers are free for the Mac and PC. And I believe it's for Linux too.
Brian, do you have to jailbreak it to be able to sideload other applications in the Kindle Fire?
Let's see. The only ones I've had to jailbreak for is one is called Titanium Backup, which is like the number one rooting app of all. This will back up everything on your Android device, and I mean everything. It'll go into the app list, and you can freeze apps, prevent the device from thinking that it's installed. Well, technically it is installed, it just has no access to it, and then you can unfreeze it and stuff. But rooting is kind of risky if you do not know what you're doing. So always, you know, look on Google and stuff and get a sense of, you know, it's basically like working with a regular PC. You mess something up of system file, and your system is screwed. That type of thing. But
all right, got a question for you, Brian. Would you ever do a podcast about Modern Day? Would you ever do a podcast named Modern Day Computing?
I'd like to. It's just a matter of time. I'm right now involved with work and stuff, doing a computer deployment at Miller Coors Brewery.
Okay.
Over in Trenton, Ohio.
Have you been on any other podcasts before? What other podcasts have you done, and that sort of thing, and that sort of stuff? Have you done many podcasts?
Let's see. I've been on the Podcast Overlord. All hail the Podcast Overlord. yours, Brad.
Yep. This one here. And you're also writing on my blog each week. That's pretty cool. And you post some great news on there and stuff. That's pretty good. And people enjoy it.
Yep. I've only written one so far, but I'm going to try to write more.
Cool. And what's coming up in your next video, do you reckon? Is any more videos coming out soon?
I would have to say maybe some updates, because they have done updates for, they pushed a new update for the Kindle stuff, 6.2.2 and stuff. But, you know, if you look on the if you go to the YouTube website and find the parts 1 and 2, I did put a part that gives you instructions on how to overcome the 6.2.2 update. Because that's as compared with – that's the only downside of between Apple and Amazon, is that Amazon forces the updates on you. You have no choice in it. Okay. Whereas Apple, you know, they say they have an update. You know, you hook it up and it says, oh, there's an update for it. And you know, you get the choice. With Amazon, nope. You know, they installed in the background, and you know that, and they love to break root all the time.
All right, well, let's jump to another story. Jason, you didn't mean bring up this in the news story, mate, but Path actually brought out a blog post the other day about I think it was doing with their contacts. You hear that, Jason?
Yeah, what happened was so that you could easily find other Path people that are friends of yours to connect to, they uploaded your full contacts list, email addresses, phone numbers, home addresses and everything into the Path servers, and then processed it on there looking for anybody who had similar details that they might suggest to you for a path friend. And a lot of people thought that was very bad security risk because they don't want all of their data, including friends' phone numbers and email addresses and home addresses, being uploaded to a server somewhere. So they brought out a new version and they promised they deleted all that data off their servers. And hopefully they've actually done what they said. But a lot of the time when something is up on the internet somewhere, it can be there permanently. So
yeah, exactly.
People think that once they close their Facebook account, all the data is gone, but Facebook usually keeps the data there and just tells you you can't access it anymore. And effectively, you think it's deleted, but they've still got all the information about who your friends are, where you were, what you posted, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Do you use Path, Jason?
No.
Okay. What's your view on Path? What do you think of it?
I think it would be interesting to share photos, but there's so many apps that do that now.
Yeah,
it's the same as with the other apps that you've mentioned that for me to try out, like Cheers. I use GetGlue to talk about things that I really enjoy and what I'm up to at the time. And then there's GoMiso and all the Oinks and everything. So,
yeah, exactly.
So many social networking stuff these days that it's just – get a bit of fatigue there.
There is indeed. What about you, Steve? What's your view on Path?
I've never actually used it before, but it kind of reminds me of fairly recent story with Apple leaving their location data, on the iPhone, and then they had to do an update to remove it. I know it was a big thing in the news, so it kind of sounded something similar.
Okay. All right. What about you, Brian? What's your view on this Path article and stuff?
It is kind of freaky, considering that I do use it a little bit, but not too much. But for the fact that not knowing if that bug is just for iPhone only, I mean, I have it on my Android, and I have like a couple people I guess I've never really met, though they probably came through you. So
yeah.
But I'm not being flooded with tons of people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think the limit is you
had like up to change after this podcast is released.
Yeah, probably. I think on Path you can add up to like 150 people on Path, which is good. Which is good. So
keep a limit, and it's just taking a lot of photos and sharing it with your friends, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's pretty fun app to use, and I use it sometimes, but pretty fun. Let's talk about a story from TechAU. Jason did one the other day to do with Chrome on the Android. Apparently, you can use Chrome is in beta now for the Android phones or something. Is that correct, Brian?
That'd
be interesting to try out.
Yeah, it is in beta. Unfortunately, I am unable to get Chrome because my Galaxy S2 is still on Gingerbread.
Okay.
Come on, Samsung.
What about you, don't you have an Android phone, Jason?
I've got a Motorola Defy, but I haven't upgraded it to any of the later operating systems. Okay. And also, thing about Chrome is apparently it doesn't work too well with the WordPress text box when you're trying to enter your news. It slows right down and crashes for a lot of people, so they're hoping that Google will be able to fix that up for Chrome soon.
Yeah, I wish Chrome comes onto the iOS one day. I hope so.
We've
got a few browsers.
That would be very unlikely.
Having Chrome on the iPad, oh my God, can you imagine that? That'd be so cool. That'd be so cool.
Apple would have a fit.
They would.
Well, they got Opera on there and a couple of other browsers.
Well, they do have Dolphin and stuff. So.
Yeah. All right, let's Google. Steve, what are your thoughts on Chrome on the Android?
I was actually reading through it earlier, and I noticed a little blur that said, I'll read it, what it says. The final noteworthy item was with the Chrome browser, its lack of flash support. Which I know before that most, well, at least on the desktop, the flash is integrated with the actual web browser. Of course, now with Adobe getting rid of or not supporting flash on mobile devices, I figured they would still put it in with the Google Chrome browser, but I guess not in this case.
Okay.
Yeah, everything's going HTML5 now, so I guess a lot of them are thinking, why bother putting it on there? It has become a resource hog and crash things, like Steve Jobs said, whether people like it or not. But, I think there's going to be an internet world over the next few years just going to change everything to HTML5. I mean, you get a browser for iOS, which goes through external servers, and it converts any Flash embedded images and applications into HTML5 on the fly, so you can still use it on your iPad. It's not fully supported, but it works rather well.
Well, even when the iPad didn't support Flash, I was seeing a big push toward HTML5 just for that reason. So people with iPads can still access their sites, and so they would have to make their website like half, HTML5 for the iPad users, and then half, Flash. I'm not saying every website, but at least we're seeing it toward HTML5 before.
Yeah, I think Microsoft announced recently that the next version of their browser is going to drop support for plugins. They want everything to be done in the browser itself. That's interesting as well.
Interesting, yeah. Very interesting. All right, let's talk some apps now. Jason, what have you been checking out this week, man?
I've got an app that's a favorite of mine called Geosphere, and it's for people who like geocaching. If you don't know what that is, you should check out geocaching.com. Is people get Tupperware containers and they hide little goodies in there, and it's all over the world, worldwide, and you find lots of little things hidden in there. And what you do is you go to geocaching.com website and you type in your current location, and it'll tell you if there's any of these little geocaches hidden there.
Okay.
And gives you the longitude and latitude, and then you can use your any geo device, GPS device, to go find it. And there's a couple out for iOS. There's one called Geosphere, which is the one that I bought.
Cool.
And it shows you a little compass on there, showing you the direction for you to go, how many meters or how many feet to go to find it. You can download a list of all the caches in the area, so you might go find half a dozen while you're out and about. I've hidden a bunch of them myself. I did one just a couple of weeks ago down at Barangaroo near Sydney Harbour Bridge, which half a dozen people have found since. And I did one last year with my daughter. We hid one, and it was named Amy Pond after Doctor Who character. So they're a lot of fun, especially if you want to get out and get some exercise. But you can go to meetups and meet other people who like the same sort of geeky stuff as that.
Cool.
Or you can even just take your kids if you want to get them out of the house. You can take them into the bush. I've got one that's down south near Sutherland, up at the top of a mountain called Mount Westmacott, and you have to actually go hiking to be able to get there. So you don't want to and get that one done in 5 minutes. But a lot of people have a lot of fun doing it.
So when you find these things, what are actually in it? Like what sort of things are in it?
Well, all of them have to have a log file, which is a bit of paper where you can write down your team name to say that you've found it.
Okay.
So it's at least one of those, but it depends on the size. You can have a nano cache, which is anything from a really small film canister or even a bit smaller than that, right up to some people put a giant plastic Tupperware container filled up with stuff. Oh. Often it's got stuff from a $2 shop. People go there, buy a dozen items from a $2 shop and put in there, which means it's really good for kids because they find lots of little toys and stuff in there.
Yeah.
With my daughter, I just called it a treasure hunt.
Okay.
She liked that. But people have put in their CDs, DVDs, movie tickets.
Oh, wow.
I found a really big one in the middle of the bush, and it had a bowling ball in there. A kickboard for kids to go swimming. So I took the kickboard for my daughter because she was doing swimming lessons at the time.
Oh,
but generally what you do is when you find the case, you take something out and you put something in. Always got something different in there for people to find.
That's good. That sounds really
fun. So go to gbhometech.com, T-E-C-H, and get a copy of the Geosphere or look it up in the App Store.
It's okay, and how much is that up to buy?
I'm not sure how much it is now. I think it was about $10 or something.
Okay, cool. Does Brian or Steve get into them sort of apps?
Actually, I wanted to mention about that geocaching that Jason just mentioned. Now, I don't have it on my iPhone or anything, but I do have a Garmin device, GPS for your car, and you can actually download that for free, and you can, it will download in your area the geocaches, and so if you own a Garmin device, you can get it for free.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, I've got a Garmin Nuvi myself that I can use it for, but I've always got my iPhone with me, so I just looked it up, and it's $7.99 Australian in the App Store if you want the Geosphere app.
Okay, all right. What else is coming up? Other apps on it. All right, Fango. Now, it's Jason. Have you heard about Fango?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
It's made by Yahoo 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Get Glue. You just check in and that sort of thing, and you can vote on things and
Tenet Mobile. Is it only for Channel 7 shows? Or is it
different sort of show. You can just, yeah, just search for the show and then you just check in and you can chat on there and stuff, that sort of thing.
It integrates with Twitter and Facebook?
Yes, it is. Yep. Yep.
Cool.
But personally, I think I like GetGlue better. I think it's just more people more know it and stuff. And
yeah, I use GetGlue all the time.
And this Thango app is only designed for Australians, so people in the US can't actually use it. So it's only for Australians only. So
lucky you.
Yeah, which I don't use.
Finally, one for us. Right?
Yeah. Put it this way, it's a GetGlue version of. That's what that app is,
At first, I thought you said Fandango, which I thought, I got that, which is for movies. You can order movie tickets.
Yeah, Fandango. Fango.
So, and you know what's another really good app?
What's that?
CW Podcast. Go download it from the store.
Download that.
Check out our show, watch the videos and everything on there. It's great.
Good stuff. Yeah, go buy it today. And also, I want to mention Thango and the Voxer. Now, I've been using Voxer for I don't know how long I've been using, probably the past 2 months. I'll recommend that app if you want to use that app. I want to chat to people and save money on phone calls and text messages, and works over 3G and Wi-Fi. Yeah. So,
just chatting one on one. Does it have group chat?
Group chats. Yep. Group. You can talk as long as you want. Me and Jacob uses a fair time, a fair bit.
So do I.
So is Brian. Yep, it's pretty good. What's your view on Voxer, Brian?
It's a really neat app, especially, like I'll use my example. If you send me a voice app or a voice message, basically a voice message app, only, I can respond back immediately whenever I have the time, like in case if I'm at work, you can, between you and I, send me a voice message and I can send you a text message, in case if I can't say anything.
Like so,
ways.
Yeah. So, it's a great app. I recommend it. So, Jason, I reckon you should get it, mate. It'd be a good chat to have a pre-chat about Tech Webcast during the week if you want to use that app. But, Steve?
Yeah, I had somebody sending me messages through my Xbox this week too.
Did you? Who was that?
You.
Oh, me. Yeah.
Last night, wasn't it?
I was bored.
And the other thing, people, don't forget the Jinx t-shirts. People watching the video today can see mine. Space Invader one. Very nice.
Great t-shirts by Jinx. I got mine the other day. Great t-shirt. Wear them all the time.
I was surprised at how fast they got.
Yes. Chain. Very fast.
What is Jinx?
What is that?
Jinx.com. It's a clothing website.
J-I-N-X.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yep.
They're especially famous with World of Warcraft.
That's it. That's the one.
Oh, okay.
That's the one. So, yeah, getting back to Voxer. So,
oh, hail the Alliance.
Yeah. Getting back to Voxer, Steve, if you want to get Voxer, mate, I think you've used Voxer before, haven't you, Steve?
I did. I think I took it off because there's certain apps that I don't really use, so I've been kind of taking
those
off.
I reckon you'll get it back, mate, because I no longer use Skype. The only reason I use Skype for is this podcast, and that's it. So if you want to talk to me during the week, get Voxer.
Steve won't be able to patch you into his studio though.
No, but he can just use the walk. It's a walkie-talkie app. So them apps, and also check out the Cheers app. I'll talk about more than the next week when the guy comes on in March. He's going to come on. Cheers. No, app just came out yesterday, I think it was. What else was there, Jason? Anything else, mate?
That's about it. Where do we find Brian on the internet?
Well, you can find me on Google Plus. I know there's a bunch of them. Let's see. You told me about the web, that type of shortening.
Yeah, join gplus.to, and you can create a shortcut there, gplus.to, Brian Boo, or something like, or Modern Day Computing, which is your YouTube, isn't it, Modern Day Computers?
Yeah.
Yep, and also
YouTube.com/moderndaycomputers. Also, if you do follow, Brad and stuff, you can also find me on Google Plus. You can find me in there too.
Cool. Are you on Twitter?
I'm probably the only Brian. Yes, I am on. I'm at Brian Boer, and I also have Modern Day Comps. Yep. Though I will admit that it is very new. I only started this week, though I haven't posted anything, so cool. I haven't customized it yet. So. Cool. But I'm hoping to post stuff to that more often.
And I also recommend, Brian, he's adding links to you on your G Plus profile too, mate, of your Twitter addresses too, so people know. You can follow me on Twitter at
right now.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Bright Oz on a Tech Webcast. Jason.
Yep, you can follow me on Twitter, WAULOK Warlock and Blue Bilby Apps, and find me, of course, at bluebilbyapps.com, bluebilby.com.
Good stuff. Any news on that? Any news coming up? Any new apps you're working on at the moment?
No news at this stage.
Okay, cool. Also, Steve.
Oh, you can find me on chatterbox underscore live.
All right, good stuff. And that's been episode 174 of Tech Webcast.
Catch you all next week.
Catch you all next week. Jason, thanks, mate. You lost the game, Steve.
Yeah.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric, and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. Weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechheads.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest running
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for geeks.